What's up, everyone? This is Jay, aka Brother Soap, welcoming you to the 27th episode of the British Soap Podcast. I am here with the Emma to my Finn, the queen of all things beautifully unfinished in 2016.tumblr.com, Miss Louise, what is up?
I'm mom. Oh, I'm mom. You're Finn. Oh, lovely.
Yes, you are the lovely. Cool mom who no, I'm I not, love.
I'm
not cool. Even
I'm
though
I'm a murderer, I'm terrible. Yeah. I pushed my husband off a flipping bridge.
But you're fabulous, and it was an accident, and you loved him. And if he wouldn't have slept in my room, it'd have been cool. Yes, you are the queen, and I just tell you, mother, why do you do these bad things, mother? At least that was my role till I got
really,
me a man.
I really don't like her one bit. She just reminds me of something. She was sick, okay? She was in... So in Britain, we have a thing called Casualty. She was in Casualty very, very long ago. Everyone forgets that she was in it as well. I'm like, please. She was in it with the Robert from Coronation Street. You know Robert from Coronation Street?
I don't like him.
That's not his natural accent either. That is put on. That is terrible. It's awful. I prefer his natural accent. So him and Emma were in Casualty together, and they had an affair with each other and made a baby. And then the baby died. And the baby died because the car went into the river, and the river was all icy, and the ice broke, and the car went down, and the baby went down with the car. So it's very sad.
So you don't like Emma because she reminds you of that?
Oh, yes, she reminds me deadly of that. Every single day she's on screen, I'm like, ugh, go away. Die, please. I don't like you as a character, never mind an actress.
I love her, though. I think she's fabulous. I want
she needs to stay away from Moira. Like, stay away, okay?
Yeah, I kind of agree, but you know, Myra did boink her man and make her go crazy and try to kill Ross. And so if Myra had kept her punani to herself, we wouldn't be in this situation.
I like the idea that maybe we could have a reoccurrence of what she did to Ross. We could have maybe one day, or if the secret does kind of emerge to come out, maybe she'll try and kill one of the boys.
Yep, I need it to be Ross. Because Finn and Pete have been through enough, I love Ross too, but I am completely on board for that because homeboy be tripping. I got a question for you. Let's start there. Let's say a man who has treated you like shit for 30 years says, "I love you," and then invites you to move into his home. How quickly do you move in?
I don't get where you're coming from with the question.
Have you not seen what went down between Ronnie and Lawrence?
Oh, sugar that. Oh, my gosh. So he is... Oh, my gosh. That is just weird. No. So he tells him he loves him. Asks him to move in. Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I spoiling that for you? Did you not see that?
No. You're not spoiling it. I just didn't get the 30 years thing. Oh, yeah. So they've been keeping it. Yeah, because he said that, didn't he, when it was, when they were stood in the pub and he was like, "I want you to stay, you need to stay."
No, what he said was, and I took it back, because I was like, "Ooh, you annoying asshole, Lawrence, I'm so sick of your bitch ass." Let me see, I took the damn quote down, his trifling ass said, where is he at, his old messy goddamn self. Lawrence goes, "I want you to stay there." I said it. Happy now? And then Ronnie was like, "No, I ain't happy because it's 30 years too late."
Said, oh, yes.
I said yes. But then the next episode, "I love you.
I'm a nightmare.
Come live with me." And Ronnie's like, "Okay."
I was like saying to my mom, I was like, "He's going to say the L word." And she's like, "No, he isn't." I'm like, "Yes, he is. He's going to say the L word." And about 5 seconds later, he's saying, "I love you." And I told you, mother. I told you. All right? And it's just stupid. I'm like, you haven't even been on a date with him. And you've tried to kill him twice. I mean, 5 seconds ago, you hated his ass. And now you love him? Really? Seriously? And I'm like, no, this is... And what I hate is the parallels. So how they look very similar to Aaron and Robert, and it's kind of been... It's like it's being pushed in our faces. It's like, oh, look, this is what Robert could look like in 30 years. And I'm like, no! No! We don't need a reminder. Or a future parallel universe. We don't need that. If someone has, like... If someone couldn't commit to me for 30 years, but then 30 years later they say, oh no, but I love you and I want to be with you and I want you to stay in my house. No. I'd be like, no, bitch, go away. All right, this ain't gonna happen, okay? Because you're 30 years too late, okay? You should have said it there and then when I actually had feelings for you, because now I don't have any feelings at all and I don't ever want to see you again, and that's why I'm leaving. That's why I'm leaving in a car or in a taxi or whatever, because there's no home for me here. Okay, my home is elsewhere, away from you and your psycho family. Because why would he want to get into that kind of? And also the thing that like really really pisses me off is the whole Chrissy and Rebecca trying to push them together. Yeah. I'm like, weren't you two enemies two episodes ago? And now you're all like busy mates and loving each other and trying to get your dad with the man that he loves.
This is what I feel like is the problem with having a producer from Hollyoaks doing Emmerdale. Because these are the types of character shifts that Hollyoaks is famous for. You have a character completely acting, you know, a specific way for a long period of time, but then to serve the plot, all of a sudden they're acting wildly different than they normally do. And the strange thing about Ronnie agreeing to live with Lawrence is that he voiced everything that you just said, and I thought before one episode later agreeing to move in.
Yeah.
He knows it's been too long. He knows Lawrence is too old and set in his ways. You know, you can be older and flexible and really willing to try. But even, you know, in making this offer, Lawrence says, I'm a nightmare. He reminded me so much of Steve, because on Hollyoaks, Stee and Harry got together by Stee saying, eventually, after the drug shit came out, I know I'm a mess, I probably will be for a long time, but be with me anyway. Like, that is not a pitch to keep someone in your life. And that's what Lawrence did. Lawrence said, I know I'm a nightmare, I'm not promising anything, but I love you, come move in with me. Like, that's just way too wishy-washy, odd, weird, non-committal.
And it's kind of desperate anyone. As well, isn't it?
I mean, so what? I'm thinking, okay, so now Ronnie is just going to be Lawrence's Dormat. Sexless wife again. This is going to be the third relationship he's in, where he's got someone living with him that he's not sleeping with, that he can't commit to, where he's cool with them one minute, an asshole the next minute. And Ronnie knows all this about him. You know, Emmerdale had him saying, I know Lawrence better than anybody else. And so he agrees to live with him.
And then the other thing is, like, how can he, like, I know you tweeted about this, but how can he say to him, you're the bravest man I've ever met, when Lawrence can't even admit to being gay?
You know?
Oh, gosh, no.
He was drunk, girl.
It was fine. I mean, it's fine Robert saying it, because I believe that Aaron is brave. He's incredibly brave. So it's fine when Robert says it. But when Ronnie says it to Lawrence, I'm like, no. All right? How is he brave?
Let's talk about moral character. Every time Lawrence is presented with the opportunity to be a moral, respectful human being, he always opts for the asshole way out. Let's start with, I think, the first thing that kind of made me completely question Lawrence as a character. When he found out that Lachlan had sexually assaulted Alicia, his reaction was to try to pay Alicia off. You know your relative has sexually abused a woman, and instead of ensuring that that individual get punished for his crime, your inclination is to go to the woman that was sexually assaulted and her partner and offer to throw them money to not talk about the sexual assault? Oh. Like, when that happened, I was just like, who the fuck is Lawrence as a character? You know, and so everything else that he does, you know, him getting pissed off because Bernice is trying to accept him being obviously gay, so he kicks her out of her business. Chrissy and Lachlan at the time tried to accept that he was gay, so he kicks them out of the house. Okay, now Bex has pissed him off, so he kicks her out of the house. Like, okay, so you're just on a whim making people homeless.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Ronnie, you know, he has pulled a gun on Ronnie. I think Sam pulled a gun on Ronnie on his behalf more than once. He's punched Ronnie. He's been utterly disrespectful to Ronnie. Can't even say that he really likes men to Ronnie. But Ronnie's supposed to think that all of those actions mean I love you and are worthy of you living together. Like, see, that doesn't make any sense, and that feels very Hollyoaks, you know, where all of a sudden these things are happening. All of a sudden, this is a couple happening, even though logically it makes no sense. And I'm not here for it. It's so annoying. And it's interesting. I don't think that Ronnie and Lawrence are exactly like Robert and Aaron. But hang on, because there's something that I did notice that I thought was interesting. So on the same episode where Lawrence propositioned Ronnie and told him to move in with him, Lawrence says to Ronnie, well, you know how I feel about you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Ronnie's like, I do? Really? Do I? Like, two scenes later, Robert says to Aaron, who's still got to upset over all that Bex foolishness, he's like, you know how I feel about you. And I'm like, really? Y'all got them two saying the same line in the same episode? Why are we doing this Robert Lawrence parallel? It's just like, what?
And like, was the script where I lazy that day? I don't. With the whole repeating and the repeating of nobody else comes close. Like the repeating of the stuff that was in Super Soap Week, the stuff to do with like, you're the one, you're enough, nobody else comes close. And I'm like, now we're just repeating stuff that happened pre-episode ago. We're just lazy now, we just listen to every single episode now. Whenever they have a fight, is that just the excuse? Oh,
you're the one, nobody else comes close.
Just has a constant excuse going, oh, I did this, but I love you. Okay, so if you go and kill Liv, oh, is that you killing her? Then you go, oh, Aaron, but I love you. Right. That's why I killed
you. A lot of people, I feel like, who write soaps think that having a person say the words, I love you, absolves them of everything. So, I'm a serial killer. I just murdered your whole family, but I love you. Okay, I love you too. Let's get married. Like, what?
What? Yeah. Exactly.
Because that's not how real life works.
No, it doesn't.
So, just to clarify, so someone treats you like shit for 30 years, says I love you, and invites you to move in, how quickly are you moving?
No. No way. I would rather be by myself with my own things.
I know that's right. Yes, ma'am, and I completely agree. Shit. All right, everybody. So if you have any questions about anything related to the British soaps, or we do not cover something today you would have liked us to talk about, please head over to britishsoappodcast.tumblr.com. And don't be shy. I don't have them anon because the Ask's anon because anons be tripping. So let us know your Tumblr so I can shout you out and send us an ask and we can talk about it on the program. Or hit us up on the Twitterations at UK Soap Podcast so I can like see a notification and be like, hey, somebody has a question. And then we can talk about it on the show. So let us know, y'all. All right, so we are going to stay in the Dales of the Emmers. Miss Louise, hit us with some what the hellishness. What did Emmerdale do to make you say, what the hell?
Tell you what, might go with the not predictable one first. So, Pierce getting help from Paddy for his mental health. Okay, where do I start with this? Literally, like, okay, what the hell? Okay, Paddy is willing to help the guy who is sleeping with his wife, or his ex-wife. Okay, well, they're not ex because they're not even divorced yet, when he can't even be bothered to help Aaron. Because, like, Aaron still has mental health issues here. Hello, we still have the whole Rebecca throwing herself at Robert thing. And, like, now we have Aaron being he's still being insecure about himself and having, He has insecurities. So he worries that Robert might have an affair when they're married, because his relationship with Robert started out as an affair. And then the whole thing with Piers just like breaking down and being sad about his dad dying. I mean the whole thing with him just going to counselling, I think was just pathetic. And it was like Paddy just stood in the rain telling him, also the lying thing as well, like Paddy lying to Piers that Ronan had a relapse just to get him to the hospital. I mean, that's basically blackmail, it is. So I think Paddy still is not redeemable. I think he's still this, you know, him and Aaron, you know, like how Liv locked Robert and Aaron in the back room of the pub and gave them beer and curry and the sports channel. I mean, that so needs to happen to Paddy and Aaron, because like they need to sort out their shit, because they have a wedding coming up. And I mean, I could very easily see Paddy not going to the wedding or having an issue with the wedding coming when the dates are announced, because I mean, we're seeing this lovely like Liv and Paddy relationship, and it's like Aaron is non-existent again in his life, and it's horrible. I don't like seeing it. I love Aaron and Paddy together, and ever since he left for Germany, I feel like we've not had anything. You know, we had that bittersweet goodbye thing, and then there was nothing. Not even when Paddy came back, there was really any interaction or any apology. I mean, we had that short scene of them in the cafe where he said, "How are you and Robert?" And Aaron's like, "Don't go there. I know what you think." And I just think it's like one thing after another with these guys. And I think, and then you have the Paddy and the Chaz thing. I'm like, where is that going? I'm like, what? Seriously?
You just educated me about what happened between Pierce and Rona, because Rona and Paddy, because I hate Pierce. I liked Paddy with the woman that he was screwing, who was Pierce's wife, and I'm not here for Rona and Pierce, so I fast forward past all their scenes. I completely missed the scene between Robert and Aaron that you were talking about, but I know about it because when our girl Rachel was on the program, she told me about how ridiculous it was that Liv put them two together when she couldn't stand Robert at the first day of play, so I understood the reference, but I do not care about Pat. Well, I'd love Patty. I don't care about Pierce, and the sooner he can go to America with Black Belle's boyfriend, Bailey, with his ass, the better. Because I can't with him. So let him be violent. Let him turn into Ashley. Let him hit Rona so the cops could be called and he could leave the screen. Because I can't with him. I just, no.
That whole breaking of the mirror scene was just brilliant. But then the next episode when Paddy's like, oh, you need to come to the hospital because Rona's had a relapse. I'm like, no. I'm like, and then the whole thing was like, with like the fact that like Paddy is willing to help Pierce get help for his mental health or whatever it is, his issues, when Aaron was struggling so much with Gordon, and then that's just been brushed under the carpet again. I feel like every time Aaron has a relapse or his mental health gets mentioned, it just gets swept under the carpet. Oh, we don't care about Aaron and his mental health. We don't care. You know, it gets resolved with making love to the man that he loves and having sex and getting married. Apparently, that solves everything. It doesn't solve everything.
But baby, that's how it's done on Hollyoaks. Isn't this Hollyoaks we're watching?
No, it's Emmerdale. But
are you sure? You know where the producer's from, don't you?
Yeah, no way. Are we still going along with this whole Rebecca's going to get pregnant by him? By Robert?
Baby, Emmerdale is Hollyoaks right now. We'll wait and see.
Okay.
The thing that bothers you that doesn't bother me about what you said was Patty and Chaz getting back together.
I want Patty and Chaz together so badly. Because, I mean, Lucy Parsha needs to have an exit storyline, okay? She's pregnant. She needs to have an exit storyline. What if her exit storyline is that she gets pregnant by Patty but feels ashamed and has to go away and give birth to a baby?
I'm good with that.
Does that mean that Aaron get a step? I'm like, I want to just give Aaron more brothers and sisters, please. Just give him loads of brothers and sisters. And then that means Leo gets like a stepbrother. Oh no, it's adorable. No, I want more kids. I want more kids. I love Liv and Gabby. I love that. It's so cute. I don't care that they're menaces. They're beautiful.
What's your other what the hell, boo?
I'm going there. Rebecca kissing Robert and Robert kissing her back. Oh God. Where do I go? Where do I start with this? All right, okay. Stuart Blackburn cannot write Robert for shit. I was watching it and going, okay, they're kissing. What? He's kissing her back? What the? I know it's like a linger, but I'm like, no, that is a full-blown kiss. And I'm like, are my eyes deceiving me? No, they're not. No, this is real. This is legit real. And literally, like, it said in the spoilers, that he was going to pull away and that he was going to reject her. And that, like, he says, and his response is that now is not the right time. Like, seriously? Like, oh, no, not because I'm engaged to Aaron. Oh, now is not the right time. And I'm like, and he doesn't even begin to mention Aaron in the, like, apology or not. It's not an apology, is it? No, it's a back off bitch. But then is it a back off bitch? Because it's like, oh well, I'm bisexual, so I still have feelings for women, so if a woman kisses me, they're gonna kiss her back because I still have feelings for a said woman, even though I'm getting engaged to Aaron. I mean, I am engaged to Aaron and I'm marrying Aaron, who is a bloke who I'm also fucking. Okay, right. So let me get this straight. So you're saying that I'm bisexual, but that doesn't mean I'm going to cheat. But you cheated on him anyway. So where do we stand here now? Okay, and it's like, and then Diane coming in and him mentioning Home Farm and that Andy means nothing. And I'm like, nope, this is, so it's all about Home Farm, is it? It's not about Andy. I know he's like playing her at this point. But it's like, it was just like some kind of, I don't know, it was basically like watching a horror film. It was dreadful. It was like, can I rewind and erase that from my memory, please? Because it was like so bad. I'm like, no. And then you have everything on Twitter where like, it's like completely like, oh, that is cheating. That is cheating. I'm leaving the Rob Braun fandom. Bye-bye, guys. Never see you again. Bye-bye. And, I mean, I watched these scenes, you know, more than once, and I tried to kind of go, like, understand Robert and be like, oh, I'm in your corner, baby. Like, I love you, but I also hate you because you've done some terrible things. And I always try to see two sides of the coin. So I watch it, enjoy it or don't enjoy it, and then watch it again and then criticize it and being like, you shouldn't be doing this because you're with Aaron. I thought Aaron was enough and that nobody else comes close. But, oh, Rebecca, because she's a woman, because you still have feelings for her, or do you, or, and then the whole, I don't know where the heck this is going. It's like one thing after another. And the whole factor that Stuart Blackburn wrote this episode, like, as soon as I saw that he wrote the episode, I was like, this is going to be shit, isn't it? What the heck have we let ourselves in for?
Now, I think you already know that you and I disagree on this issue. I thought that Robert and Beck's kissing was hot, and I did not expect Robert to kiss back, and I thought it was kind of funny when he actually did, and I was actually impressed with Stuart Blackburn's writing on that episode. I had expected it to be bad, but even Carrie, he made funny. I was like, okay, Stuart, I do not want you producing any more soaps, but you can write an episode every now and then. I thought it was cool. I thought it was fine. I thought it was bullshit.
He forgot everything that ever existed. I mean, I was like, has he actually been watching the show?
Well, baby, listen. So I understand the Rob Braun fan perspective of being upset that he had those two kiss and that Robert responded. Yeah, I get that. But for me, the episode as a whole, I just expected it to be trash, like Coronation Street, boring, like back in the day. But it wasn't. It was actually interesting and exciting. So I will, you know, I only used to give him credit, but I will give him credit for that. I do think it is hilarious, though, that when Bex busted out with the Day of Truth, and Aaron confronted Robert. Oh, Robert's instinct was to be like, I kissed that woman. I was like, okay, Pinocchio. You know goddamn well you kissed that damn woman. So, I don't know. Emmerdale is apparently committed to Robert and Aaron, so I don't expect them not to get married. But I'm still holding to, I would not be surprised if she pops up pregnant. And I'll be good with it, because, you know, Bex, I like Bex. Everybody else on the whites gets on my nerves right now. Bex, I'm kind of cool with. I liked the heat that I saw between Robert and her in that moment, but because I know Robert is trash, I don't exactly want him to be with her either. So I'm conflicted, but I thought it was fine. Yes. But let's move on. Let me jump into my what the hells really quick. Let's do this one first. Ronnie telling Lawrence that he was the reason Lachlan shot him. Because if Ronnie had it outed Lawrence, which he didn't exactly do since Lauren ain't gay, he ain't straight, he's nothing, that Lachlan wouldn't have shot him. I was just like, no, Ember, don't even stop. Because the tendency on these soaps and shows in general is if there's an asshole gay and a nice gay, let's just blame the nice gay for everything and let the asshole get away with everything. And there was Ronnie, because he was being nice and listening to Lawrence whine about how, oh, it's my fault that the rapist is who shot me is in jail, which wasn't logical either. But then Ronnie's like, no, it's my fault. And I'm just like, bitches, it ain't none of your fault. Lawrence was being an asshole, but Lachlan pulled that trigger. Lachlan needs to help get the responsibility of that, period, in a sentence. But Emmerdale, I would just like, stop. I can't. Oh, goodness. And my other one, my boy Pete. Cock blocking Finn at that fucking hospital. I was like, why the fuck would you open up your mouth to tell a nurse, my brother is not his boyfriend, He shouldn't be making any decision. I was like, Pete, shut the fuck up. What are you doing? You know, we know that Emmerdale is giving Finn a storyline, you know, to...
Finally.
Exactly. Have him interested in the guy. He did something sweet, you know. He saved the guy's life. He felt like, you know, his dad was responsible for him being in the hospital. And so he's just kind of, you know, checking on him and making sure that he's okay. And he's just, you know, wanting to make sure... You know, yeah, he's alive and doing okay. But then Pete in his fucking mouth, I was like, Pete, shut the fuck up.
I also hate Aaron for telling Pete. I'm like, why tell me, Aaron? Why?
Yes, and let me see, because I took down now, Finn got mad with Aaron after he found out that Aaron told Pete that he was at the hospital to go see Cassim. And then Finn says to Aaron, "Now I know I could never trust you." And I'm like, bitch, the night after y'all fucked, he's like, "I don't want to date you. You ain't my type." You knew you couldn't trust him from that fucking moment. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, boy, bye.
Yeah, yeah. Hello.
So stupid. So stupid how this show continues to forget history, but I don't goddamn it. I remember. Goddamn remember. Shit. Let's switch into do scenes of the week, baby. What were your scenes of the week from The Emmerdales?
Oh, it has to be Carrie falling through the skyline. Oh, with the whole explanation of why she fell through the skyline. There was a little bird. They had to go and rescue the bird. I thought it was dead. But it flew away and it was alive. Oh, praise the gods. Oh, no. Oh, I love her. I do love her. She's brilliant. I do. Oh, no. Did she drop her bag down first? I feel like she did that. Like she
Carrie
dropped her bag.
Usually gets on my last nerve, but that... was hilarious. Emmerdale has been writing some perfect things for her. Like, when she told Nicola, who was whining about Jimmy supposedly sleeping with Bernice, she just looked at her and like, you started this. If you had kept your lips off my man, you wouldn't be in this situation. Now you're like me, single and lonely. I was like, ooh. They've been doing right by Carrie recently, and I've been surprised.
Ooh, be careful, because some stuff's coming up, and it's going to be good.
What else you got, boo?
I'm going to go there, because you went there as well. The Robert and the Aaron fight. That was brilliant. I think the main thing about that was the whole Robert going like, "You are staying, bitch. We are having this out and proud, and I'm making you stay for this argument, because every time we have an argument, you just run the fuck away. Alright? Because that's your thing, isn't it? Alright? We have an argument, and you just leave the room. Because you believe that running away solves the issue, or it forgets about the issue." And this is, like, a recurring thing for Aaron. It's like, oh, you had the whole thing with, like, Liv mentioning the money situation, and he leaves the room. He leaves the pub and goes into the back room and starts watching telly. And I'm like, Aaron, you need to stop running away from things, because that's not being brave and that's being cowardly, okay? I do feel he's not so brave in that factory as the fact that he can't... He can stand up for himself, but when it comes... to confrontation and an argument, he's gone in a flash. Bye bye, Robert. Bye bye, Liv. Bye bye, Chaz. I'm going. I'm getting the fuck out of here, because I ain't getting involved in this. And I just think, once again, it's like the whole where Ryan and Danny just propel off each other so well. And I think that the scene was quite well written. And the only thing I had the issue was about the last line where, like, So Aaron saying, "In our home, you had the right to kiss her in our home," because he sees the Woolpack is like their home now, because like they're like a family. Yeah, they're basically like a family now. Him and Liv and Robert are a family. And Aaron feels like he walked into the house wearing muddy boots. That's what it's like. It's horrible. No. And then Robert saying, you told me to change. I have changed. So maybe it's you that needs to change. That was the only thing I had an issue with. I was like, Aaron doesn't need to change. He is okay the way he is, all right? Yes, he has insecurity issues, but maybe that's your fault, Robert, okay? Because do you remember how this whole thing started? This whole thing started because you had an affair with him, all right? So he's never going to feel okay about it, about the relationship, because it started as an affair. It started as a dirty little secret, and it continued to be a dirty little secret until it ended. And then even when they kind of got back together, it was kind of like, oh, should we tell Chaz or should we not tell Chaz? And then Chaz has figured it out anyway. And it's like, no. I hope that maybe the insecurities are dealt with before the wedding, or even during the wedding night. I mean, you could have Aaron being suspicious that something's going on the wedding night and him confronting Robert about this, and that, you know, we'll find out whether the Bex thing is going to carry on the 23rd of December. Or we'll find out if it's being laid to rest, because it's just getting repetitive and repetitive, and it's like, can we just stop this, please?
Well, me, you know, I feel like since Robert Stewart has not admitted to Aaron that he tried to kill Patty, and although he was there with the gun, so I guess he didn't exactly have to admit to that one, or that he tried to kill his mother, you know, I still feel like their relationship is based on a lie, and it's going to come tumbling down, regardless of if they get married.
Because it's going to bite him on the ass.
They could get married just to get divorced, like they do on Hallios. Or at least get gay married to get split up, because, you know, John Paul and, well, Steve and Doug got married. Doug got killed off. While they were married, Steve cheated with Brendan, and Doug stayed the same. It was stupid. And then John Paul and Steve got married, only for John Paul to act weird after Steve got HIV, and then their relationship broke up.
And then you had the whole, like, him sleeping with Sinead and having a baby with Sinead.
Oh, yes, that mess. You know, the whole thing with Aaron walking out of a room when there's a problem, I don't feel that specific to Aaron. I remember specifically on one of the episodes of Hollyoaks podcast, or back when we were doing that, I think I did a post talking about how so many problems on soaps could be resolved if, when there was a conflict, a person just stayed in the same room.
Yeah.
Because that was par for the course on Hollyoaks. There was a problem, people could have stayed in a room and had a conversation, and then the problem would have been talked about and resolved. But the choice was to have one person leave the room. That is Hollyoaks 101. Who is the producer of Emmerdale? That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, goodness. For me, let's see here. The first little cute thing I thought, April standing for Marlon and Carly, I think it's cute as hell.
It was in her Christmas list.
Yes, baby. She wants her Marlon and Carly living together, baby. And so she wants to ask Santa to make it happen. That little girl was so cute. I also like her putting that whipped cream in Jimmy's hand and tickling his face, so he slapped his face with whipped cream. I did not expect to be in tears laughing over that, but I thought that was so goddamn funny. I love that little girl who plays April. She's everything.
She's very cute.
And I also enjoyed Emma versus Kane. You know, enjoy it because I like seeing Emma being manipulative. I think she's cool at it, and she's such a sweet and proper little mother, but she really gets into the shit. And I like her, you know, being manipulative, but I also appreciate how Kane can see straight through her, and I wish that Myra could too, because it's completely ridiculous that she does not get that Emma is playing her ass. But, you know, there isn't a lot of interesting conflict, I feel, on Emmerdale sometimes. Sometimes it's just kind of like wildly out of character versus annoying or weird character. It's just annoying. But Emma and Kane's rivalry comes with a long history behind it, and I appreciate that. With all the weirdness going on Emmerdale, at least two characters are being true to their character, and their conflict is ongoing, you know, having to do with that. So, yes, Emma and Kane, yes. I wanted to save this to the end, but I don't want to let everybody on Emmerdale. I don't want everybody to have to go through hearing two more soaps to hear this. So I'm just going to put it as a third scene of the week and my fucking best. I love Kazeem. I love him. I think he's great. I need him on the show forever. I need him and Finn to get married before Robert and Aaron. I need it to happen. I love him so much. My dude gets out of a coma and then he's like, I got to find the man who saved my life, baby. Oh, it's so great. And then he goes to the town. Meets Finn's co-worker. Tracy is standing to bring them boys together, and it was so goddamn cute. The little scene where they got together, was talking at the B&B, got together up in Finn's house, got all guessing. It's just great. And I have to give Emmerdale props on this. I hated the way they brought together both Aaron and Finn, because Aaron and Finn was just supposed to be friends, and then next thing you know, they fucking, and not Aaron saying, dude, you ain't my type. I didn't like the way they brought together Aaron and Robert, because Robert was committed to someone. Aaron hates people that cheat, but all of a sudden Aaron is helping this dude cheat who he knows has a woman.
So cute, like, and it had his
no, it's not cute. It is not cute. It is contrary to Aaron's character, and there's no getting around that. I love the way that Emmerdale has brought together Finn and Kazeem, because it's real. There was a tragic accident. Finn was in this guy's life because of this accident. He was on his own in a hospital all by himself, no family, no friends. And Finn's heart is so strong that he just wanted to make sure that this guy was okay. And he ended up talking to him about what he was going through with his dad, because his brothers couldn't be bothered and he didn't want to bother his mother, you know. And I just think that way of a couple coming together, I haven't seen in, I don't know that I've ever seen. And I think that was very smart. And it was grounded. Like, the relationship is already grounded in a place that kind of tugs at your heartstrings. So I'm giving Emmerdale props for setting that up. Even the conflict, which I think was stupid, you know. So Kazeem comes to town to find Finn. Next thing you know, and he's like, you know, oh, I may be a stalker. Hope you don't feel like I'm a stalker. Feel like, boy, I'm horny. Come on, kiss me. But then all of a sudden, because Pete busts out at the pub, hey, you know, my brother was visiting you at the hospital for weeks. Now, it doesn't make any sense to me that Kazeem would be weirded out by that, because, dude, you just went to the town to find this dude who saved your life. So why would you be bothered that he was visiting you at the hospital? Like, that should endear him to you, because it's like, this guy didn't even know me and he's, you know, checking on me to make sure I'm okay. Like, that's loving.
That's
so
sweet.
I thought that was, yeah, it's sweet. So I thought, yeah, why would he be bothered that? But no, Emmerdale did one of them Hollyoaks tricks. I'm going to go and make a phone call for 5 minutes, and then next thing you know, his ass don't come back. He packed and he trying to leave. Fortunately, Emmerdale resolved that. They had Emma get up in there and be like, boy, you better come get my son.
Oh, and the Madonna quote. That was brilliant.
Yes, that was cute. He's like, that ain't the Bible, half of that's Madonna. And it was cute. But I like it. The chemistry between them is good. Dude who plays Kazeem is excellent. I liked him little, you know, touching Finn's face and being all affectionate. And Finn's just like, yes, my body is ready. I love it. So as long as Emmerdale does not make Kazeem and Finn completely stupid or backburner them to the point where we see them just on holidays, I'm here for them. Because this is the way I wanted a gay story to start, on some soap, and it's solid. So I need Emmerdale to keep doing the good they're doing with this couple. We've had many years of bad stories for gay and lesbian characters on Emmerdale. I need that to end with Finn and Kazeem, goddammit. Alright, so we are going to shift gears and talk about Holly Oops. Miss Lula starts with you. Lou, you. What did Holly Oops do to make you say, what the hell?
I'm going with the big one to start with. Lisa sleeping with Mac. Oh my gosh. What the? Where did that come from? I was like, oh, it's Freddy. Oh no, it's Ryan. What? It's Mac? What the? So you like older men? Ugh. So are we doing another Adam with... Adam with Mia's mother storyline. So Emmerdale is copying Hollyoaks, and Hollyoaks is copying Emmerdale. Oh, this is beautiful, isn't it? Okay, so you have Lisa with Nathan. Oh, no, Nathan's not enough. I want to have your dad. I want to bang your dad. Lovely. I don't know. I can't even remember why she slept with him. I was just like, oh my gosh. He's the guy that she slept with? Like, what the? Oh, no.
Lisa Loveday slept with Mac?
Yeah.
Lisa Loveday, Simone and Lewis's daughter, slept with Mac, who abused James?
Yes. I was like, what? My friend actually came into the shop where I work, and she mentioned that there's something bad happening between Lisa. I was like, what's this? And I leave it right to the last minute to watch it. And I'm like, oh my, what the hell? Quick, get the notepad, write it down. That is going in there. Oh, what the? Because you really think it's like, you see Freddie and Ryan come back to the house, and you think it's Freddy, or you think it's Ryan.
Oh no,
it's Mac. And I'm like, what?
Yes, you know what? This is a rehash storyline. The last episode I saw, this is why you confused me with that, because I haven't seen it. I guess it must have happened on the episode that followed. I told you the last episode I watched was the episode where Linda Gray, Tabitha.
Marnie's.
Yes, where Tabitha leaves Hollyoaks. That episode ended with, so what's the Amy's husband or boyfriend? What's his
Ryan.
Name? Okay,
Ryan.
Yes. So ended with them coming home. So I thought, I guess that must have happened on the episode after that, right?
Yeah.
But okay. I think it's stupid. The story that it's rehashing is Nancy, Robbie, and his trifling ass daddy.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and it was a continuity thing, because what had happened was, I think Robbie was in Nancy's place and had like left his belt or something. There was some kind of weird continuity thing with a belt where there's no way it could have been Robbie's dad that she slept with, because she had Robbie's belt. It was completely stupid, but this is just dumb. And this is going to go the same place that one did, nowhere, because... I guess they're probably eventually setting up Mac to leave the show, if all of a sudden out of the blue he's beating James and now having sex with Lisa. Like, that, I mean, that just doesn't make any damn sense. This is stupid. I don't even like Lisa and Nathan together anyway. Like, they just don't.
It's because Lisa finds out about Cleo's email.
Well,
that's what
I know,
it's about.
I already saw that, but it's stupid, and it was just wasting
time. I know,
time.
It is stupid.
Like, I feel like, you know, Hollyoaks could be doing so many other things with Lisa, but that's...
I don't even like her. I want Sonya back. Bring her back. Her and Zach together, though. My poor baby boy is all alone on his own.
I am Team Lisa when it comes to Hollyoaks. I think it's trash that Sonya stole her life, and I did not like the last-minute rewrite that, you know... All of a sudden, Simone is Team Sonya and shit. I remember when Sonya first came back as Lisa, Simone was like, "Heather, you ain't none of my daughter. Where you get that necklace? Well, who is you?" I like skeptical Simone, and I like skeptical Zach, when both of them were skeptical of Sonya's treacherous ass, because they were right, you know. And I'm going to jump in and throw in my what the hell, because I only got one, and it's directly related to my girl Lisa. I didn't like Sonya trying to flip the script on Lisa. Lisa was just being nice and saying, you know, oh, you're leaving town? Well, you know, I'm happy for you, you know, and, you know, I hope things go well for you. And then Sonya's like, what? You just want me to leave? How damn, don't you? Because everything that I did, you're so selfish. And I was just like, Heifer, finally, after all this time, you say you're leaving, and the Heifer, Lisa, for once, is not being a bitch. She's actually being nice and saying to you, listen, I'm happy for you. Good luck to your future. And your response is, you just wanted me to leave. You ain't want me here. I was like, I was like, bye, Sonya. Bye. Go. I don't care. Bye. Ugh, it was just, I can't. I can't. Yes. Anyway, what's your other one, Boo?
I have two, actually. So, Nick brushing off Ellie's rape confession. So, the whole thing with Ellie and Nick, where, like, they, you know, Nick doesn't believe that it was rape and that Ellie's feeling a bit weirded out about it and that she's having some kind of nightmare issue about it, and that there was that whole scene of her and Freddie being intimate and then her having, like, a flashback, and I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, so are we going down the rape path or are we going down the mistake path? Make your mind up, Hollyoaks, please. And it just, I feel like it's kind of like how he doesn't want to admit to her that he might have done a wrong thing, because then he could be in really deep, deep trouble and it could wreck his relationship with Holly and it could wreck his entire future. And I think you need to be really careful when you have sex with people. Like the message is really good, but I think the way they're going about it is wrong, because it's saying that, look, if you're a man and your girlfriend or the person you took home is drunk, you can have sex with them, whether they say yes or no, or can't even say anything at all because they are passed out on a bed. No.
Well, we already know Hollyoaks is not good with rape storylines.
We know that. Exactly.
Jackie and Gilly, look at Finn and John Paul. Of course, this is another one. And the thing that I still have not forgotten is Holly lied, got Dodger locked up overnight by the cops because she told the police that Dodger raped her because Ooh. She was too much of a punk to just admit to her boyfriend that she had cheated on him. So the fact that she's even, you know, involved in this storyline when she lied about rape herself, I hate it. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. It's bullshit. Complete. What's your last what the hell, babe?
Warren helping Steve. I'm like, what? Seriously? Oh, no. Just that whole scene of him admitting to Warren that he'd, like, hid the drugs in Ryan's flat and then Warren making him go back and getting them and being kind of on Steve's side. And I'm like, 5 seconds ago you wanted to kill him and now you're helping him? Oh God, no. I'm like, can you make your mind up, please? Like, either have Steve and Warren against each other, not for each other. I'm like, this is just so frustrating. It's like, I mean, the whole thing with Steve being denied custody for the kids just because of one thing that Leah said with, oh, I don't want my dad's, I don't want to have to go and check on my dad because he might be taking coke or whatever. And then Warren helping Steve. I mean, it's just like he made him go back and get the drugs when he could have easily, you know, got Steve out. I mean, he wants Steve to suffer, doesn't he? Or is that me poxing up something? Is that me making up something? Because I feel like that's what it is. To me, it feels like Warren doesn't like Steve, so Steve should have whatever's coming to him. Why would Warren help him? It makes no sense.
It makes Hollyoaks sense because Hollyoaks is determined to get Steve involved with some man who is another Brendan Brady.
And oh, Warren good
and
great.
Brendan Brady could not stand each other, but Warren is the closest thing to Brendan on that canvas, so of course they're going to circle each other. But yes, it's complete bullshit. complete Bullshitica. Let's switch over to scenes of the week, though. What did Hollyoaks do that made you say, okay, I'm cool with you?
Oh, staying on the whole Steve thing, I actually quite enjoyed the Steve and Amy scene. So the scene before the custody hearing, so you have Amy, she's gone to some other spray tan person, and she's got a really dodgy spray tan, and Steve like fixing her up, going, getting her dress, making her look beautiful, and them having a really nice conversation about, oh, maybe I'm going to change my mind about the hearing, and maybe you can be in Leah and Lucas's life. And it was basically like old times. It was like that Amy and Steve didn't have any history had completely been rewritten. So it was like, oh, I didn't hit you in the past, that didn't exist, and we're busy mates now. But it was sweet because it's like, it's Amy and Steve, so it's, you kind of want Steve to have some kind of relationship with his baby's mama, because it's kind of, because he has no relationship with Sinead now, because Sinead's not even in the show. And it's just, it was just bittersweet, I think, to have that scene, but then to have the next scene, oh, you can't have the kids, I'm going to stab you in the back with a knife. Cheers. Thanks for that.
Well, when you remember, you know, I think the last time Hollyoaks had Steve taking care of children, it was Tony and Diane's
kid.
And then he asked the kids, hey, can I leave you alone? Now, I think these are toddlers. He's like, hey, can I leave you guys alone in the house for a second while I go do a drug deal? And then he goes and does the deal and locks his stupid ass out the house. Baby, look, Steve has gotten so many passes. He was on a 2-year suspended sentence, got locked up twice while on the 2-year suspended sentence. The first time he should have gone to jail. I think the second time might have been a little bit past the 2-year suspended sentence mark, but he didn't go to jail. So he's gotten away with enough bullshit. It's time for him to have some kind of problem. So I ain't mad at it. Just ridiculous. What's your other one, Boo?
What's the other one? Okay. Sienna and Myra having a talk about their dead murdering children. I was like, she's talking about Niall! My gosh, this is amazing! I love it. It was just like, and just the way she kind of like gave her the Bible, I'm like, yeah, God can save you.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, no, it was brilliant.
Yeah, and I liked how
I was like, they brought back Niall. I'm like, yes, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Anything to do with Niall, I'm like, yes, just bring him up.
Yeah, he was.
I was quite shocked that she didn't mention Carmel. Carmel, I can never say her name properly.
Yeah, madam. Yeah, they turned Carmel in the trash before the end. I didn't like Niall. He was better on Revenge, but I did not.
He killed Kara. No.
I thought it was interesting because I didn't see that coming. I feel like recently Hollyoaks has been putting people together in scenes that you wouldn't normally expect to have conversations. Like when Simone was talking to Mercedes, I was like, okay, I'm feeling it. So that was good.
Mercedes talking to Sienna as well after Joe died. That was quite good.
Really good. Yeah, that was a good scene on that roof. Yeah, I like that. That was really good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Mm.
I also like the fact that Warren has rung Joel, but can't quite make out that it's him. And it's like, okay, we keep having him. There was that scene where Sienna was at the club or the pub or whatever it was. She was at a kind of a bar thing, and she's having a cup of. She's going to have a drink with Joel and talk about talk about Nico, and he gives her rosemary beads. And then Warren finds out where she is. Joel goes to the toilet. Takes Sienna away, wonders who she's with, and then doesn't. Then Joel comes back out and goes like, "You were like this close to seeing him." It was like the whole Nancy and OB thing, where it took forever for them to be in the same room with each other. I was like, OB goes back into the cafe, and like, and Nancy come and Nan was it Nancy? Yeah, no, not Nancy. Thingy. Cindy. I'm terrible with names. Why am I being? Yes, Cindy walks past and it's cool. I'm like, you just walk past Obi. Literally, this is... No.
But that's soap stuff, baby.
I feel like OB is something to do with the Osbournes, though. So I feel like it's Tom's rung OB and told him to go to Hollyoaks to make sure that Cindy's okay and that she doesn't go off the hooker or off her rocker. I feel like OB's an inside person. I feel like he's being...
I think they explained it. It wasn't Cindy. Somebody had called him, though. I can't remember. I saw that episode. It was one of the last ones I saw. But he explained to us. Somebody had called and let him know what was going on, because she was surprised to see him. And I can't remember who they said right now, but I don't think it wasn't Tom. It was somebody else. Okay. But, yeah, I was cool with it. But, yeah, baby, that's a soap thing. They always do that. Two people that they are going to have a big moment, they always do that kind of stuff. I'm kind of used to it at this point. Shucks. I want to run through my two what the hells really quickly. I'm going to run through my what the hells. First of all, I thought it was cute that Alfie turned his computer into the movie Her with Jade. I thought it was I missed that baby, but he is not ready to let her go, and that looks like it means we'll have Jade, even though she's in computer form for a little while. So I'm cool with it. That's fine. It's cool.
There's some good shit coming up. There's some good shit coming up.
I'm glad. And I didn't like him not being there when his grandmama was there, though. I didn't like that. I thought that was stupid. I wanted to see Linda Gray meet Alfie, but whatever. She may be back. The other thing that I thought was good was Joanne setting up Simone. Because, I'm sorry, I love Simone, but that haven't been doing too goddamn much. All this drunk mess. For once, because Simone is drunk as a skunk, she's allowed Lisa to get the moral high ground. Because Lisa's trying to let everybody know, hey, y'all, look at here, Mama got a problem. Everybody like, no, she don't. She great. Mama could. And Joanne's like, oh, okay. So she sets up Simone, gets her drunk, which Simone should have. Simone hanging with Joanne is as stupid as Byra hanging with Emma. Like, that heifer tried to destroy your life. Why are you drinking with this heifer? So, Simone gets drunk with Joanne, and Joanne takes her drunk as a skunk behind, puts her behind the wheel of a van, and crashes somebody, and calls the popos so that Simone gets caught up. I thought it was fabulous, because there needed to be something that happened that let the family know Lisa isn't lying, and let Simone know she's doing too much, and That happened, you know, with Joanne setting her up. Not only had Lewis and Zach finally realize, oh, she does have a drinking problem, it also let Simone realize, oh, Joanne is fucking with me. But then she follows up saying, you're not going to destroy my life. I'm staying with Lewis. That's my bad. So walking home and saying, we're divorcing. I'm like, girl. But anyway. Just like I like Emma on Emmerdale, I like Joanne being messy on Hollyoaks. Although I need her to get a man so she could get up out of Simone and them business. Because she too cool a woman to be worrying about all these trifling ass men. So, yes. Joanne setting up Simone. Scene of the week. Okay. So I did mine earlier. So we're going to close with your fucking best character, Miss Louise. Who was your pick for the best?
Mr. Aaron Livesey has to be him, because he's best. Yes. Him standing his ground and being like, I am not using Gordon's money to buy the mill, because that money is dirty. I was like, yes, yes. Praise this boy, as this boy isn't going to let what Gordon did to him shape his future. And that money, even though it's a lot of money, it doesn't mean anything to Aaron, because money doesn't mean anything to Aaron. He can't be bought. Yes.
See, this has been my problem with his argument the entire time. And anytime somebody's like, oh, I cannot take this money because it's so morally reprehensible. Look, every single dollar that we have out here, I feel like, is earned on the back of somebody. So, you know, people died over money. People got used over money. I feel like every single dollar that is out there is on the backs of slaves, of people who were used, abused. So I think every single dollar is dirty. So to me, it's stupid to not use money that can have you financially secure. If you're going to be moral and you don't want to use any money from anyone that has ever done anything wrong, then you just don't use money at all. Because there is no money that is not touched by dirtiness. So if that's the moral stance that Aaron has, if he is so offended by the thought of money that is dirty, it's so dirty, then don't use money. There was another character this happened to on EastEnders as well. It was Kat. Kat had somebody sexually abuse her, and then the person who sexually abused her, somehow or another, she ended up with like a bag full of money from that person, I think. And so she actually takes the money and burns it in the street. I'm sorry. Oh. Okay, come on. You couldn't have donated it to a sexual abuse charity or anything. You know? I get weird when soaps do this weird moral high ground. I'm too good to spend money. I can't use money. And I'm like, okay, so somebody raped you. Yes, it's fucked up. But, okay, if you have the opportunity to do something good with it, to secure yourself a home, yeah, it's fucked up. But whatever, that bitch owes you. Okay, you rape me, well, thank you. Give me a house, you know, or give my sister financial freedom. I'm for that. So if Emmerdale goes the route of having them use that money for that purpose, I'm not going to be mad at it. Because I really feel like, fundamentally, all money is dirty. So if you ain't going to be bothered by the fact that, you know, maybe some slaves died so some, you know, rich landowner could have that money that you have in your wallet to go buy, I don't know, a pizza, then just use the goddamn money. To me, it's just like, you're just making up this mental bullshit to not use money. Like, it's soapy and it's annoying, and I'm just like, stop, buy the fucking mill. If you're gonna buy the mill, stop all this goddamn whining, because you're gonna do the shit anyway. So I will say, with that, I am at Brother Soap,
and I am at Liv_Flarte.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, I like my bacon well done, not my women. Bye.
Ciao.